Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ray Acevedo. I'm a PhD student at Kansas State University under Dr. David Mingle. And today I'll be talking to you about optimizing biomass levels and improving grain yield and nitrogen efficiency in winter wheat. And when I start talking about optimizing biomass levels, I'm really referring to making that wheat plant factory size as close to exact as we can for a perfect fit for the growing environment it's in, so we can produce as efficient a yield as possible. But in the state of Kansas, we have two common problems, and the first being that where farmers would over-apply a lot of nitrogen in the fall and over-produce the amount of biomass we'd have in the early spring, so overproduction in tillers. And then next would be the potential of having undersized plant biomass factories where we just didn't get enough fall tillering. And in Kansas, a lot of that had to deal with not enough moisture. So we may need to come in the early springtime and apply more nitrogen to facilitate more spring tillers in order to get the yield we're looking for. And so in order to start assessing what the optimum biomass levels would be throughout the state of Kansas, we started doing research back in 2006 and have established over 50 site years of data. And each one of these studies had multiple different nitrogen management strategies applied with single and split applications of applied nitrogen applied in the fall, FEEX 4, or early spring green up, FEEX 7 and 9, where FEEX 9 is a flag leaf. And we had total applied nitrogen rates ranging from 0 to 224 kilograms per hectare. Now, to monitor our plant biomass throughout the growing season, we use active optical sensors, primarily the Trimble GreenSeeker and Holland Scientific ACS 470, throughout the growing season with key emphasis on FEEX 4, 7, and 9. So for the purpose of this presentation, I'm really going to focus on the early spring biomass at that FEEX 4 stage and why it's important. And whenever we're dealing with biomass, it's always good to put things into perspective with pictures. And I got two sites here. One is Manhattan, Kansas, which is located in the northeast part of the state. And the one on the right is Pittsburgh, Kansas, which is the southeast. And this is at the FEEX 4 growth stage, early spring green up. And you can see that we got a large difference in biomass between the two. Most people would say at an NDVI of 0.2, the Manhattan site wasn't all that great of wheat, where our Pittsburgh site with an NDVI of 0.87 looks fantastic, and that's going to be the best yield in the state. But what really is interesting is when we look at the final pictures. We see we generated a little more biomass down in Manhattan, increased a little bit, and Pittsburgh went crazy and it produced tons of biomass, but our in-game yield was actually the same. They both got around 4,000 kilograms per hectare. So this really should make you start to wonder about, out of these two sites, which one probably made you more profit per acre? And so when we were talking to Kansas farmers and telling them that active optical sensors can be used to help them with their nitrogen management plans and managing their biomass, they'll straight up tell you that red NDVI doesn't mean anything to them. You have to give them something to translate. And there's two things that translate to a Kansas farmer. The first, of course, being grain yield, and the second being tillers per plant. And so we like to show them this kind of data that's just a basic relationship between red NDVI and tillers per plant at FEEX 4. And it just shows that as NDVI goes up, our tillers per plant goes up. And so when we're thinking about that Pittsburgh site and we're showing them that with the NDVI of 0.87, they have over 10 to 12 tillers per plant. And things start to click with the farmer then. It's like, they start to say, yeah, that's probably more tillers per plant than I actually needed, and that may actually cost me in the end. Whereas if we're at the lower end of the spectrum at 0.2 NDVI, the farmer knows that he did not generate enough tillers and probably needs to apply more N in the spring to get the yield that he's going for, depending on the area it's in. Now, the next question a Kansas farmer will ask you is, well, how much nitrogen in the fall is going to be needed to produce a given level of biomass or tillers per plant? And this shows the relationship between our fall residual soil nitrate down to a 60 centimeter depth at FEEX 4 compared to red NDVI. And what you see is when we start getting to that, we start getting to that 100 kilograms per hectare mark, we start getting to those higher biomass levels. How biomass levels produced that may be more than we actually need. And so the Kansas farmer is going to want to know from there is, like, if he didn't apply any more nitrogen at that point, what kind of grain yield could he expect by the end of the season? And so this is showing the same relationship between our soil nitrate in the fall and our final grain yield. And at that 100 kilogram mark of nitrogen in the profile, we see that we're around 4,000 kilograms per hectare. And at most areas in the state of Kansas, that starts getting to be to the point where they're not going to get a lot more grain yield with additional nitrogen applied. And so an issue that we face, though, is that most Kansas farmers don't do a fall soil profile test. So they'll be completely reliant on the active sensors to give them the NDVI and the translation. And so with this particular graph, I want to show you what starts happening when we start applying different nitrogen plants. And what I want you to focus on is when we start getting above a red NDVI of 0.78, really start to see our yields tank down. And what the reason for those yield reductions is completely dependent upon where you're at in Kansas. If we're down in Pittsburgh, the image I showed you with that high biomass of 8.7, the reason why it starts tanking at that point is that high biomass in the southeast part of Kansas makes a very conducive microclimate for disease down there. And so we get a lot of disease and they get more lodging, and so more yield reduction. But when we go to the western part of the state where they don't get a lot of annual precipitation, they'll have enough precip in the early springtime to support high biomass levels, but they won't have enough during grain fill period, so the wheat plant's going to start kicking tillers during grain fill and aborting grain. So there again, we have reductions in yield and efficiency. So when we start applying different biomass concepts to our sensor-based nitrogen recommendation algorithms, we start to see improvements in our nitrogen use efficiencies we're able to attain. And this slide shows one particular site where we had three different sensor-based treatments in different areas of the field. And each one of them, sensor-based treatment, is color-coded on the bar graph showing their actual grain yield and also nitrogen use efficiency observed. On the x-axis is our FEEX growth stage, ranging from FEEX 3 to FEEX 9, and our red NDVI on the y. So we're seeing its growth pattern throughout the growing season. And when we look at, like, the brown bar or the reddish bar, we got over 5,000 kilograms per hectare. And this particular spot in the field is a bottom ground, which was more productive, usually held more water. And so the algorithm, based on those biomass components and some additional components we added in, was assessing the soil and the weather given there, the yields we were going for, and what kind of biomass it could support. And it determined that we could reach a yield goal of 5,000 kilograms or greater. And so it applied more nitrogen appropriately. And we see that it continued to grow throughout the growing season. But when we look at the green bar, that sensor treatment was located in a higher ground part of the field, which was more droughty, did not hold as much water. We set the algorithm to only go for around 4,000 kilograms per hectare, and it was able to achieve that yield goal. And you see that it had it so the biomass levels would get capped out more, but we did see a reduction in our nitrogen use efficiency down to 49%. And so that was pretty interesting, and so I was glad we had another sensor-based treatment right around it with a lower yield desired, which is our orange bars. We got around 3,000 kilograms per hectare, which was the yield goal. And we see the algorithm applied even less nitrogen, trying to reduce that biomass even further. We achieved our yield goal, but our nitrogen use efficiency went back up to 67%. And so this gives us a pretty good indication that our algorithm, when we start looking at the assessment of it, is that when we were reaching closer to our desired yield, which was the area's maximum for the obtainable yield you could get from it, the algorithm started sacrificing nitrogen use efficiency to obtain it. And so what we need to do is reprogram the algorithm to recommend the optimum NUE and yield level so it can have better abilities to improve profit per acre and reduce environmental impact. And so what we want to do is give the farmer the option to set the algorithm for either max yield or max profit and efficiency. And so in conclusion, We want to, the biomass optimization for specific environments does have the potential to improve nitrogen use efficiency, yield, and yield stability. But of course, as always in research, additional site years is needed to properly address optimum biomass levels for each one of the cropping districts in the state of Kansas. So we really want to fine-tune that as specific as possible. And with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions. Was did our calculation for nitrogen use efficiency include that fall residual nitrate that was already present in the soil? Yes, it did. And included our fall residual and also how much we applied, including starter N. Yes. Next question, I think. That data there was across multiple fields and multiple years. And what we found is a lot of those fields, there wasn't like a broad range of like tiller numbers. They were either all around the 10 range when we're talking about Feeks 4 or just down around the 2. But what is significant, I made sure to put in there like the row spacing and seeding rates. It is likely that relationship between your red NDVI and your tillage per plant will change with row spacing and what your seeding rate was. So, yeah. Any other questions? Questions are a fun part. Another one. I like that.
Great job. But I have another question on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like the Trimble Green Seeker is the one that is commonly available, has two wavelengths at the red and near-infrared, 660 nanometers, and I believe the near-infrared is 770 nanometers. The Crop Circle ACS 470 is a three-channel, and you can set the wavelengths to what you want. We had them set at the red being around 670 nanometers and the near-infrared at the 760, based on what Kyle Holland had for his filters. Excellent question. Any others? Surely one more. Dr. Franzen, yes.
One more. So at the Pittsburgh side where you had the 27.
Yes.
Red. Did you do the red edge? Did that give you a little bit better idea of what you expect?
Yes, I did do the red edge also. The red edge does help. It did help clear it up more because you're not as prone to saturating out as sooner. And so if we looked at the biomass levels in the red and red NDVI across time, at that particular site, it'll be like flatlined. Whereas if you're doing NDRE, normalized difference red edge, you'll have a little bit more of a growth cycle there. So you'll extend out your range there just a little bit. Yeah. Either way, with both of them, it was too high of biomass for that particular site. The optimum biomass turned out to be around 0.67 red NDVI, and those particular treatments made 110 bushel. Great question. Any others?
Great. Thanks very much, Greg.
Thank you.